This morning's gospel text takes place just days after Jesus enters Jerusalem. To the cries of the crowd, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" The conflict between Christ and his opponents has reached a fevered pitch. The Pharisees went and plotted how to entangle Jesus in his words. And this time they enlist the help of the Herodians. These are strange bedfellows indeed. Although the Pharisees are not radicals, they hate the Romans just as much as any first century Jew. They despise their pagan overlords and would gladly see them defeated and rooted from Israel. On the other hand, the Herodians are those Hellenistic Jews who have embraced Greek culture and support the Roman hegemony. They are the partisans of Herod, Rome's puppet king, hence the name Herodians. Yet these natural enemies come together because they hate Christ. It is not uncommon in our world today to see those who are diametrically opposed to one another cleave to one another to attack Christ and his church. In the name of Jesus, amen. The Pharisees think they finally have a foolproof plan. They have already questioned Jesus' authority, and Christ handily rebuffed them. So now they will pretend to acknowledge him, butter him up a little. They say, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God truthfully, and you do not care about anyone's opinion, for you are not swayed by appearances." They assume that after such an introduction, Jesus will be forced to give a straightforward answer to their devious question. They ask, "Tell us, then, what you think. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" They think they have Jesus trapped. If he answers yes, you must pay taxes, the Pharisees will go around and proclaim that he's a Roman sympathizer. He rejects Moses and pays homage to Caesar. They will make Christ an enemy of the people. But if Jesus says it is not permitted to pay taxes to Caesar, he will be an enemy of the Roman state. And Rome did not take dissidents lightly. Of course, our Lord sees right through the Pharisees' plot. He says, "Why put me to the test, you hypocrites? Show me the coin for the tax." And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" They said, "Caesar's." Then he said to them, "Therefore render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." Compare yourself to this command: render to God the things that are God's. Everything belongs to the one who gave you body and soul, who created all things, so render to God everything. Have you given God everything? Or do you find, when faced with this command, that you have lived for yourself instead? Are we not like the Pharisees? They constantly try to entangle Jesus in his own words, and we try to entangle God in his own word. We try to justify our selfishness by pretending that the word of God is not clear. We attempt to deceive God and perhaps succeed in deceiving ourselves. We try to convince ourselves that issues like taxes or abortion or divorce or war or Sunday morning priorities are complicated ethical issues. Do not try to trick God. He sees your hearts. The Lord knows your plotting ways and shallow excuses. He knows your selfishness. And remember, Jesus speaks this morning to the Pharisees. Render to God the things that are God's. These men make their pilgrimages. They attend synagogue. They pay their tithes. They fulfill their religious duties to the letter of the law. Yet they are hypocrites. They do not rejoice in belonging to God, but rather see each religious deed as a new selfie to post to Facebook. They see it as a way to glorify themselves. They worship with a heart that is far from Him. You might be able to trick your neighbor, but you cannot trick God by your pious chicanery. The Lord knows your pride, your reluctant gifts, your self-justifying lies, and your vain posturing. Render to God the things that are God's. The Pharisees were mistaken. They thought they could force Jesus to choose between Caesar and to choose between God. But everything belongs to God. To render to Caesar what is rightfully his is to render to God what is God's. To resist is to resist God, the Apostle Paul says. For there is no authority except from God. Therefore, whoever resists the authorities resists what God has appointed. Pay to all what is owed to them, taxes to whom taxes are owed, revenue to whom revenue is owed, respect to whom respect is owed, honor to whom honor is owed. I can hear all the self-justifying consciences. What about Hitler? What about Stalin? What about Pol Pot? Of course, if the government demands that you sin, obey God rather than man. But if the authorities command something that is not a sin, you merely dislike, it must be treated as a command from the Lord. To resist Caesar is to resist God. To dishonor your parents is to dishonor God. To grumble against your boss is to grumble against God. And to deprive your neighbor of food is to deprive God. Everything belongs to God. Render to God the things that are God's. Before this law, we are all crushed, obliterated. We must drop any pretense that we can justify ourselves. What am I to render to the Lord? My whole self? I have nothing but pride, reluctant gifts, and self-justifying lies. All I have to offer is sin. And God sees our hearts. He sees you for who you are. He sees you as a sinner. Before this command, we must all quake. But the one who speaks this command does render the things of God to God. Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God, and he bears the name of the Lord. The perfect Son of God was made flesh and rendered to the Father a life of perfect obedience. He is our high priest, and he offered up his life to take upon himself the only thing you have to offer, your sin. He has purchased it with his holy, innocent blood. Christ has recreated you as something more precious than the gold rendered to Caesar. He has stamped his image on you. He has inscribed his name upon you, baptizing you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Christ loved you and gave himself up for you, that he might sanctify you, having cleansed you by the washing of water with the word, so that he might present you to himself in splendor, without spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that you might be holy and without blemish. Christ has done what you could not. He renders everything to God. He redeems you body and soul, and he gives you over to the Father. In him, and only in him, can you render the things that belong to God to God. The cross was a terror for those who did not render unto Caesar that which belonged to Caesar. And the cross is a terror today to hell, the devil, and all his demons. But the cross is not a terror to you, dear Christian, because it is there that Christ stretched out his arms and rendered to God the things that belong to God. What shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits to me? I will render a sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord and take the cup of salvation. Amen.